Father, thank you that we can come before you today, Lord, and can come to your word. Lord, open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, to be able to receive, Lord, your word, your truth, Lord, your anointing, your freedom, everything that you have prepared for us. We just know, Lord, that you are the source of everything we need, and we have provided for everything that we need for life and godliness. So we just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we expect to hear from you every day, every moment, because you are God that talks to us, that directs us, that empowers us, that heals us, that give us, Lord, the things that we need, because you are a good father. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What do you want to say? I'm going to be sharing some of the message I gave to the convention, because I didn't have much time to continue. But, you know, are you continuing to keep the word dwell richly in you? Do you understand how to do that? See, God cannot do that part for you. That's your part. That's what he expects from you. He expects from you to allow the word to dwell richly in you so that it can manifest the things that he sent it for. When we realize what he wants to do in our life and the power that is in the word of God, and allow that power to be operating in us, all things become possible to us. See, but it's not just, you see, problem is people agree with the theology of what the word says, but they do not, their heart cannot grasp that reality. And so there is a split between our experience of the word and our knowledge of the word. There is a difference between what we see happening to us and what we believe that should happen to us. Do you hear what I'm saying? This should not be so. When that happens, there is something missing in our experience. And God cannot fix that, because we have a part we play in connecting with God. Are you still there? Yes. See, we are all the same. We are all focusing on different things. We have freedom to choose. But although most of the things are possible for us, not everything is profitable for us. And so we had to choose the things that are profitable for us, because otherwise we suffer the consequences of our silly choices. See, we get easily distracted. The world around us is full of things attracting our attention. The point is, where our attention is where what we give power to. If we give attention to futile things, we get nothing out of them. But if we focus on the things that make a difference, then we are going to see the impact of those things. And that's going to produce the result that we set ourselves for, that we prepare ourselves to receive. This is so important. I see, you know, so many people that don't come short of be able to connect with the power of God because they do not do the simple things, the simple choice of choosing life instead of death, choosing God instead of the other things, choosing the word of God instead of their senses. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, maybe I can talk some more about that next week. But for the now, I'm going to deal with the topic I was... the theme of the convention was the Great Commission for today. I believe that this is an important topic today because it's missed. Is misapplied. Is I don't know. The evidence is, if you look at statistics, the Great Commission is more needed today than ever it was needed. It's you just do a search on the net, and find out the condition of Christianity, especially in North America, and it's bad to say the least. The percentage of people that are regular going to church these days is halved in the last few years. That's just a symptom. Not everywhere, but most of the places, in general in North America and some other countries too. Christianity is losing ground respect to other religions, for example, like Islam. Now they can say, they find excuses, but excuses are excuses. The problem is with what is going on. Peter did a study recently, put together some statistics for different things. And you just read that information and you say, my goodness, how is that possible? The divorce rate for Christian is the same as the people in the world. I mean, I'm not talking about denominational Christian. I'm talking about people that call themselves born again. The spreading of believing, for example, in the resurrection of Jesus, well, not even ministers believe in him anymore. I mean, the statistic, I couldn't believe that the decline for that, minister saying that they believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, according to my Bible, their faith is futile. They are still in their sins and are going to go to hell. Because it's not by just saying Jesus, it's by believing that he is who he said he is and believing that he was resurrected from the dead, makes the difference. Look at, for example, items like pornography. Christians are just as bad as the others, but even ministers are involved in pornography. When that's the case, what kind of authority do they have to tell anybody else what to do? So, I don't want to go into the negative because it's not just everything negative. There are lots of positive things going on. And I believe that this is just a sign of when we are historically in the world. See, it's important to realize what is actually happening and that these things had to happen. This is not what Jesus said about the church. If you go in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, it says, and I will build my church, and the gate of Hades or hell shall not prevail against it. I mean, it appears like the opposite from what you can see from the statistics. The reality is not so. You see, it's what the people think, the external church, the church that's is going around and, people call themselves Christian. It's not the church that he's building. See, the church that he's building It's not that, you know, it doesn't say that he's going to, you know, the devil cannot do anything against it. It says that we, the church, the true church, the church that Jesus built, is able to break down the gates of hell, which is different than defending ourselves, is being on the offensive. It's the fact that we can go into the enemy territory and take people out of there, not the other way around. But that is based on the fact that there is the power of God operating in it, and is not the philosophies of man. So really we had to understand this, you know, and you know, we had to also understand that these things were predicted. You know, Jesus in Matthew 16:3 says, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. You see, we had to realize the times we are in. And we don't know when things are going to happen, but we can see the season we are in. And when we realize the season that we are in, you know, it's warning us and telling us, okay, we are getting close to my coming back. Now, you know, there are so many other pieces or elements in the Bible showing us this. You know, even in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, you know, this is a prophecy. I know they've been translated differently in the past, but, you know, people try to be prophet or try to interpret prophecy when they are not prophets. And this is the problem. You see lots of people, even in TV, that they're trying to use, you know, all the things, try to prophesize what's going to happen, and they, you know, and they're wasting their time and wasting people's time. Because first of all, if you're not a prophet, you cannot really understand prophecy. Second, I mean, the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. And so they had to discern this. The prophets had to do the discernment, not everybody else. So, but what I'm saying is prophecy is not done so that we know, you know, going to the fortune teller and can tell you what's going to happen in the future. Prophecy is done when things are happening, you say, oh, look what's happening. This is what the Bible says. So that we understand what's happening. And in this case, Daniel's revelation says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. You see, before we aren't close to the time of the end, how can they stay what was saying? These things is closed until the time. But now, we can see this different. Okay, let me see what I was saying. Yeah. Many shall run through and fro, and knowledge shall increase. There is no other time in history in which transportation, ability to move from one place to another is easy as today. There be no time in history in which there is an increase in knowledge and information that is parabolic. It's not just normal, it's not linear. So this, there is evidently that this scripture applies to these times. And this is the time when, you know, things are going to be happening on the spiritual level that never happened before. See, we had to look at the environment we are in to determine and to act and to respond to what's going on. Now, there are two different things that we have to consider. Okay. If you want, two sides to the problem. Okay. One is spiritual and the other one is physical. And we have to consider both of them. Now, from a spiritual point of view, see, the problem that the church has been running into today is that they try to adapt God's principle to today instead of keeping the way God said before. You see, they try to adjust to the time. So, you know, because, the, you know, now it's not popular about, you know, being married, man and a woman, now, you know, everything, you know, you have to adjust, you know, you have to change our beliefs and accept, you know, homosexuality and accept marriage between two of the same sex because everybody is doing so. Well, this is trying to adjust our values and our beliefs according to society instead of listening to what God said. Well, you cannot change God's principles. God's principles are spiritual, and as such, they are eternal. If you read many scriptures, and I can read you one now, you know, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we do look at the things which are seen, we do not look at the things that are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You see, God's principles don't change from time to time. The same principles that were valid when Jesus was walking on Galilee were valid today and are going to be valid in a million years from now, because God does not change. When we realize that, and we realize that we cannot play around with spiritual principle and think that things are going to work out. The church is weak because it's trying to adjust spiritual values and physical principles according to man's idea. From the physical side, and we had to realize something as well. We had to deal, you see, spiritual things don't change, but physical things change. And so we had to adapt to the environment we are in. And that's fine, because this is, physical things are temporary. So it's not big deal. You know, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, verse 26 says, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now, yet once more indicates the removal of all those things which are being shaken as the things that are made, man-made. That the things which cannot be shaken may remain. So you see, God is shaking up the church to remove all the stuff that shouldn't be there. All the man's ideas need to be flushed out, because they are robbing the church from the power of God. I share many times, you know, how you can see, you know, ministers, churches, and so on, you know, in which there is no miracle, ever. And pastors sharing, you know, I've been looking around all over the place, I cannot find the place that, or and other people, that, in which there are miracles. Well, sorry, you know, my advice to somebody like that, I would say, but just, don't go in a place where there are no miracles. Why? Because if you get in trouble, you know, that place, you know, if you get sick, you're going to die. Why? Because you cannot be in a place which is spiritually dead and expect to receive the living water from Jesus Christ. I don't care about the philosophies of men. I don't care about the great oratorial, this, you know, presentation, you know, that attracts lots of people that have itchy ears. There is no power. There is no God. And I'm sticking for that, and I don't preach it that here too. I preach it there before all the ministers of my denomination as well. The funny thing is, you know, from there, with, you know, there are miracles all the time. There are miracles taking place there at the convention. So it's not everywhere for everybody. It's the people that just accept ideas of the world that don't get the results. Why? Because they go by philosophy of man instead of going by the power of God. See, Paul said it very clearly. That your faith may be based on the power of God, not on the wisdom of man. And so we had to, You know, it takes a bit of courage to do that and to say that, but the fact is, doesn't matter anything else. Maybe we'll go home with you, you know, if that's the case. If there is no power, just go have a club, and it's the same thing. It's not, doesn't have power, doesn't have God inside. Okay. Now, you know, Jesus clearly stated in many places, you know, and about the fact that the church that he builds, not the man builds, is going to be a powerful, overcoming church. Doesn't say that it's going to be a popular church. Why? Well, because the flesh doesn't like the spirit. Now, you know, Jesus said it very clearly that, you know, for example, let me read the scripture. This is my scripture. I like, you know, always, even on my email address, is always the scripture at the bottom of it. You know, 2 Peter 1st chapter, verse 3. You know, and as his divine power has given us all things. How many things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge of what? Of him who called us by his glory, by glory and virtue. And so this is the knowledge of him enables us to have all things that we need. Do we believe it? Well, if you want to get anywhere, you have to believe it. So, the fact is people make things, the power of God, on no effect through their philosophy. That's why Jesus, they don't know the scripture, not the scripture, not the power of God. You see, you need to do that. You can know the scripture. But if you don't know the power of God, you cannot really know the scriptures. Because the only time you're going to know the scripture is when the power of God reveals it to you. You see, the only time when you're going to really know the scripture is when you experience the truth about this in the scripture. That means the power is operating in you and you have the ability to reproduce the things that the scripture says. You know, people talk, you know, I read books of people talking about speaking in tongues, glossolalia, you know. And they're not even speaking in tongues. How can you write a book if you cannot even speak it? It's like somebody that's going to write a book on how to speak in German that cannot speak German. I mean, this is retarded, but that's the type of thing that goes on. You know, we have to understand that Christianity is not a philosophy. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with the living God. And that relationship makes us different from everybody else. Oh, you are, you know, separatist. Well, that's what Jesus said. We are a peculiar people, a holy nation. Are we, or are we just like everybody else? We cannot be like everybody else. And if we feel like everybody else, there is a problem with our understanding. You know, we have to identify with them. Praise the Lord. Amen? So, one of the things that God wants to do with us is to sanctify us. You know, and sanctify us, we know religious people say, oh, you know, you have to be holy. Sanctification means separation. Means that you cannot mix with the world, be part of the world, and think that you can be walking with God. our values, our ideas, our perception, our everything has to be different because God has changed us perspective, has changed the way we see life in general, has changed our values. When that's the case, it's not a difficult thing to be a Christian. See, that's when I hear people say, oh, it's a difficult thing to be a Christian. Well, you know, said you better become one before you say that. Sounds hard, but that's the truth. That means that somebody doesn't have the experience about being a believer. And that experience makes all the difference. You know, because if you go just by mental reasoning, and you follow somebody's reasoning, you can follow and, you know, and agree on whatever, just about anything you can think. You know, if they can know how to put together a presentation in the right way, and they take you step by step, what's going to happen? You're going to keep you say yes, yes, yes. At the end, you're going to be agreeing with them on anything. But when you know that you know that you know, it's not logic that keeps you together. It's your heart that knows the truth and can stand against any of the other ideas and philosophies and reasoning of men. Are you still with me? So this is where Jesus, you know, gave the Great Commission. To us. I mean, people say, well, you know, I remember talking with some Christian, trying to convince them to reach out to others. He said, well, you know, that's not my ministry. I'm not an evangelist. Who said that the Great Commission has to do with evangelism? Oh, well, that's what most of the people believe. The Great Commission has to do with exercising our authority that Jesus gave us, so that we can make disciples, that we can reproduce ourselves. You know, all authority, just Matthew 28:18, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. That's his authority. I mean, all authority. That means, you know, there is nothing more authority than he has. Okay? Go therefore and make disciples. You see, he's giving it to us, so the authority that he has is our authority. Do we recognize the authority we have, or we have to be really careful about saying the right things and being politically correct? Well, then they don't like me. Did they like Jesus? That doesn't mean you have to be obnoxious. It just simply means that you have to take a position for certain things, if they like it or not. But, you know, that's important to realize. You know, it says, making disciples of all nations. Doesn't say to go to around the corner and stop people and giving tracts. That doesn't make any disciples. You can plant some seeds, fine, but generally, you know, most of the seeds, if you go around, you know, and you have a bunch of seeds in your hand and you go spray them around the street, I mean, how many seeds are going to grow? You waste all the seeds you have and all the time that you went around growing things. There are much more effective ways to do things. And you better think about the way you use your time because you have to give account for the way you use your time. But we certainly are told that we had to work. You see, a disciple means somebody that is not a little course that we take. A disciple is somebody that is engaged in a relationship with Jesus and grows in him and develops and get to the place where he can make other disciples. We are called everybody to do that. Jesus called everybody to do that. That includes me and you. And you say, well, I don't know. Okay, learn. It's the ongoing, lifelong exercise that we had to do. And we had to learn to do it. And we're depending where we are, we can be more or less effective. Now, But, you know, has all to do with authority. The authority that he has given us. Do you realize the authority that you have? Hello? Do you? I didn't get too many yes. I mean, you know, don't look, it's not your, you know, it's not your thing. This is Jesus' authority. It's not your ability, it's his ability. It's not your power, it's his power. I mean, when miracles take place, it's not because we are magic, it's because his power is working in you and the other person. So we have to realize that. You know, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, people make a big story about, oh, Jesus, you know, we're baptizing in the name of Jesus, not baptizing in the name of the Father. You know, who cares? There's no formulas that works. These people don't understand what they're talking about. You know, people think that you just, you know, you have to go and be immersed and everything else, and I believe in immersion, but the fact is that the water is not going to do it. It's not by being dunked in water that you are going to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The only thing you do that time is to get wet. It's what's going on inside yourself that makes that action that takes place effective. That is what makes the difference. And so you have to understand what you're doing. Otherwise, it's just a formula. Formulas don't work for anything. See, we have to understand. And this is what many people have believed for centuries. That there is magic in the action. It's not magic in the action. Christianity is not magic. It's not formula. It's not hocus pocus. Well, that's what it boils down to. Let's realize it. That's what it's made become. Immersed in the name. The name and the authority is the same thing. Of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You see, it has to be something more than being immersed in water. It's when we come immersed into that authority and power, and we go through them. The motion is just assigned, and in the physical we are agreeing with it. But when that happens, we are changed. And then says, teach to observe all the things that I commanded you. That evidently is important. See, the fact that Jesus command to us was that we can expect the same thing that he did to do as well, and to have the same type of results. I didn't say that. John 14, 12 to 14 says very clearly, he who believes in me, do you believe in him? So, should this scripture apply to you? All right. So here it says very clearly, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater work than these, he will do because I go to the Father. Are we believing in him? Do you expect greater works than he did to happen through you? I do. Because if I wouldn't, I wouldn't be here. I'll go home and rest this morning. Not kidding. I mean, the idea is either it's true or isn't. Either his promises are yea and amen, or they are no and forget it. I mean, this is black and white. Why do we have to compromise on these things? If you compromise on these things, you're going to get nothing. And this is why the condition of the church in general, you know, people don't see any miracles because they don't believe the things that it says, the Bible says. Don't believe what Jesus said that we could do. See, they think that way they are humble. See, humbleness is not being retarded. Humbleness or being slow or whatever. Humbleness is believing what God says instead of what we want to think. That's the only humbleness that we can have. Otherwise, I'm so humble. I'm doing nothing. You see, I'm a little me. Forget it. That's no humbleness. That's being retarded. That being fooling yourself. That actually being proud. Because you are proud how humble you are. But when instead you get out of the way and you say, what God said is true, and I don't care. I may look like a fool and people think of me I'm nuts. It doesn't matter. I believe what he said and I stick with it. You see, when you do that, you get the results. You see, Peter, when he was at the beautiful gate, didn't was there and said, well, you know, maybe the people think I'm going to be crazy if I grab this lame by the hand and pull it up. And so stand up and walk. Evidently, he had it inside. He believed it enough so that he didn't let his reasoning stop him from doing what the anointing was calling him to do. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me? Good. See, let me finish this verse because this is it's too good to just leave it halfway through. You know, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater work than this will he do because I go to the Father. And whatever, can you say whatever? Whatever, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, for that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I mean, can you be more categorical than this? Can you be more, black and white than this? There is no way. I mean, you can, you know, that said it all. And when you start removing the scripture, you have to remove all the others too. You know, this is a prayer that would be good for us to pray for ourselves. Because, you know, as I was, is today, tomorrow, tonight, I don't know, maybe tomorrow morning. Sometimes my time is phased out because... you know, I write the blog before, and I don't know when it goes up. But anyway, you know, what I would say. The fact that, you know, we need to realize that God wants to do things beyond what we understand. That our understanding is limited. And because of our limitations, we limit God. You know, and because we limit God, he cannot do the things through us that he wants to do. So we had to pray to open up for God to reveal to us the truth about ourselves and about things in general. We don't have it all. Nobody has it all. If we have it all, we'll be like Jesus today, completely. Walking on water and doing other things. Okay, say that. Praise the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? So we had to realize that. So we had to pray. And Paul prayed for the people, for the Ephesian church about that. You know, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 to 23 says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, we had to ask for God to illuminate our understanding, so that we understand the things that we, you know, we have lots of blind spots. Okay? This is a modern term, but that's what it means. You know, and I have them, you have them. That means there are some things that we, you know, maybe somebody else look at us and can see it right away, and we don't see it ourselves. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You see, you have an inheritance. We have an inheritance that is rich, that is more than we can think. We are not paupers. We are not poor. We have an inheritance that is beyond any imagination. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Where is it located? Working toward us who believe. Hello. I mean, if you don't jump around the room, you know, after reading a scripture like that, I don't know what I can do it. I mean, this is a promise, a statement that it should release excitement and power from inside us. It should just come out from our belly and just be able hardly to stay still. Hallelujah. So the exceeding greatness of his power. I don't know what many more words can put in there to make it convey the message. Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, and he keeps going, which he worked in Christ when he raised them from the dead and seated them at the right hand in the heavenly places. So you see that the power that is in us today, not sometime in the future. You may not know it, you may know experiences, but that's what is there if you are a born-again believer. You may not know how to tap in it, you may not know how to release it, but it's there, and the only thing you have to do is to open the door. So that it comes out. But that is there, now, not sometime in the future. You need to go to heaven to that. You don't need it when you're going to heaven. The resurrection power is now that you need it. Which worshipers in Christ when he raised them from the dead and seated them at the right hand of the Father. So you see, we are sitting with him right there. In heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. See, now and later. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's the power that we have today. That's the power we have to learn to exercise. You know, you can have power and do nothing with it. Hello? You have money and you don't know even you have the money. So you are there in poverty, not knowing what to eat, you know, not knowing what to wear because you don't have the money to buy it, what to wear new shoes, going around begging, God, please, God, do it when you have, give me some money when it's in the bank account and there are millions of dollars. Praise the Lord. That's right. This is what we have, more than millions of dollars. Because all things are possible. Oh, you're materialistic. No, I'm materialistic. I'm spiritual. This is what makes the difference. This is what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus wasn't going around without when he needed something, he had it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You want, that means you don't have it. When he's your shepherd, takes care of you, you have everything you need. Praise the Lord. Well, we finished the time here. You have all the power you need today. You had the power to speak in other languages, the power to raise the dead, the power to heal the sick, the power to, you know, overcome your sickness and your diseases. You had the power to do anything you can dream of. Why? Because the Bible says that. If you believe what the Bible says, then, and you take it for what it's, oh, what that's talking spiritually. Yes, exactly. It's talking spiritually. It's spiritually that takes place, not physically. You see, it's the heart and the spirit inside you that has that power. It's not your body. You don't need to have big muscles to move mountains. He says, to say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and that's going to be gone. If you try to do it with your muscles, it's not going to work. Praise the Lord. Well, I am finished. Do you get anything today? I mean, I don't preach this on here only. You know, I preached at the convention too, you know, with the other ministers. And some of them are just as crazy as I am. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's close in prayer. Let's appropriate what we, you see, we already have it. So it's not a question of trying to get God to give us anything. He has given it to us. Is that we had to really use what we have. Is the bank account that is there, but if you don't draw from it, you can't do anything. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. It's the truth that set us free, Lord. And when we embrace the truth and take it for ourselves, Lord, that we see it coming to pass. And so we just thank you today and stand together, Lord, in faith, believing. For, Lord, you working in us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to quicken our mortal bodies, our minds, our hearts, everything we have, to be the channel of the anointing and the power of God to minister life to those we come in contact with. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.